ある湧き見る
Waterfall, nothing can harm me at all. My worries seem so very small, but my waterfall. I can see my rainbow. Some people say daydream is for all the lazy-minded fools with nothing else to do. So let them laugh at me. So just as long as I have you to see me through, I have nothing to lose. Long as I have you.
Well, I just can't bring up my cheesy background after that. Come on. The Jimi Hendrix Experience. May this be love from Are You Experienced? Few with Orrin Ambarchi and Jim O'Rourke from Patient Soup, an excerpt of that. I got to do this quick because I got to make room for Miracle Nutrition. A name I can't pronounce from, and a piece I can't pronounce from the Aman Greek Anatolian Laments collection. Sophie Cooper with The Moon Hit Me in the Face. Ain O'Dwyer with An Unkindness of Ravens. And The Chapel on the Hill from, excuse me, from Music for Church Cleaners. Philip Pettit and Friends, The Sunflower Who Does Not Like to Turn to the Sun, and Gli Occhi Freddi della Vendetta. And at the beginning of the set, Silvia Tarozzi, number 8 from Lucciolo. This is Freeform Radio, WFMU, East Orange, WMFU, Mount Hope, in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. I'm Fabio. I'll see you next week. Next week. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for Miracle Nutrition right here on WFMU. See you later. Bye.
The following episode of Hardy White Show is not an encore presentation. It's a new show. This announcement is being made because I inexplicably had at least 30 seconds. Again, this is not an encore presentation. This is a brand new Hardy White Show. Which I can prove because I just said this is a brand new Hardy White Show. See? It's Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I try not to do anything the same way twice. I think it was Heraclitus who said, I can't step in the same river twice. Why? I lost my legs. Oh, no. No, I'm all right. It's just no more river stepping for me. Oh, hello, my friends, and welcome to Miracle Nutrition. It is All You Can Breathe Thursday, a beautiful sunny 6 degrees of separation out. Armageddon on the horizon, creating a beautiful multicolored sunrise. Oh, my friends, I am Hardy White, and I am your radio friend made of flesh and blood and urine and all sorts of gooky stuff. Oh, my goodness, my memories are faulty. I am mortal and can be reasoned with. And so what better friend to talk to on the radio? I am no AI DJ. Hey, we're going to do a deep dive today into your favorite tunes. Here's one you've never heard. What? You're getting me all wrong, AI. Well, I get you wrong because I don't know you, but I don't pretend to. Oh, but I do know many things about the human heart. I don't know how it works. Now, don't mistake that. Don't come to me for cardio problems. I'm not going to be able to do anything for your angina. I said, it sounds nasty when I say it, but I don't. That's because I don't know what I'm talking about. I do know some things, though, and I'd like to speak to you about them today. There are things, especially for folks my age, my goodness, there's so many things when you're in your 60s and you're aging that you have to deal with, like your college band. It's been going on for decades now, and people are starting to make fun of you, say, why are you still having your college band now that you have a regular job where you're basically a computer Harvey Pekar, you know, filing things away, and I'm working on my comics at night sort of thing. Oh, bless you. And everyone wants you to move on to what, though, and say, I am dedicated to the music of the mid-80s, and I want to continue to make it with my friends and to buy pedals. I have to buy pedals because I'm keeping a lot of people alive who make them. And that's what you're thinking. And see, I understand. I'm not mocking it because I have my own thing that I get accused of being nostalgic. Say, Hardy, why would you want to do this? And it is my effort to get together my old Weebelow troop. Say, now the Weebelows are this wonderful middle school of scouting where you're not a Cub Scout, but you're not quite ready for long pants. I don't know why the children, you got to keep an eye on their knees because they're always scraping them. Maybe that's the thing. I said, take the knees off of the pants because the kids scrape their knees. They're tearing the pant legs up. Just let them tear their own flesh because I'll tell you what, chinos don't heal the way that knees do. So let them get all torn up and everything. That's why our knees are all scarred if we're a certain age. And we have that funny vaccination scar. So I'm bringing back the wee old wee blow troop, and the fellas get to, now, why would 60-something-year-old men want to wear a plaid kerchief? Well, I think some of them may be doing that already. That's a thing that we go through sometimes in middle age. Say, hey, Larry, you're wearing a plaid kerchief with a little scarf ring. Yeah, that's fine. You start to be able to express yourself. I have more confidence in myself now, so I can wear a little uniform with shorts and badges. And here's the thing I miss about, here's why I need Weeblows and why it's not a nostalgia thing. I mean, I don't have a lot of happy memories of being 9 or anything. That's not it. It's just that if I find an interesting rock, who am I going to share it with? I'd like to be able to say, hey, all the folks down at my Weeblow troop, hey, I found a good rock. Or let's say I find an old film camera. I got this, I took a picture of a tree. And you want to have somebody that's forced to listen maybe once a week, and then somebody's mom there to make sure things go right. And that can be, the funny thing is the moms would be younger. It'd be all these older folks, and say there'd be some literal mom there, half our age, and saying, I'm thirsty, like that. I think it's just the same. Be like a family reunion. It's like, why are all my older relatives wearing blue short-sleeve shirts with the plaid scarf? Oh, because they're in a service organization. That's another thing. It says you have a troop. You could be used for supplemental law enforcement. Not law enforcement, peacekeeping. That's different. Peacekeeping out there say, we're gonna expecting a lot of crowds. So we're going to have the Weeblows will be out there. And I don't know who else. I don't know what other group. Cat Fanciers. I don't know how organized they are. Do you have to have a uniform to be able to show up at one of these things? Oh my gosh. A good group would be the Japanese fellas that dress like greasers. That way, I wouldn't mind them doing security. So, I don't even want to. They look mean. They're not, though. That's just a look. And I think that would, even as I don't want to get any pomade on me. That's what I'm worried about. I'm not afraid of them. I just don't want to get any lanolin on my clothes. Because it stains, maybe. I don't know. I've never brushed up against a sheep. That's what lanolin is. Put sheep oil in your hair. There's nothing wrong with that. Sheep have it in their hair. But it's that sheep going around like, I wish I had some human grease. Slick back my wool. Yeah, it ain't hair. It ain't hair. It's wool. That's right. That's a sheep conversation I have. I like to talk to myself in my head sometimes. And I talk to you. And it's like you're in my head. Oh, I'm sorry, it's a little cramped in there. How big would you have to be comfortable in my head? Very tiny. And then you could walk around the, don't fall in those little folds in my brain. Oh, is there any landscape like that? There probably is. It's covered with snow, so you can't see it. Did you know that the North Pole, up there in the Arctic, it's brain. It's exposed brain, but there's snow on it, so you don't see that. Thank goodness. What a, if you ever seen pictures of the planet without its snow, it's, that's grotesque. Well, because it's got to think. Where'd you think all that thinking is coming from? Somewhere. Planet thinks. Well, no, it's well, how could a lifeless, inanimate thing have all this gooky life on it? It must be alive somehow. And we are like that. We are it's the planet's alive, and we're sort of like polyps. We're sort of fleshy or flesh tags. just walking around on it. And to the planet, we're repulsive. I'm sure if it could see that small, it sees things on a large scale, so it thinks it has a good complexion. And that may be the way with life, may be all perspective. And oh, it is, and that's the philosophy of this show, is it's what you're standing next to. That's reality is whatever is right there next to you. And that defines you. So we're all lovely mirrors, mirroring one another, and that's it. And that should be enough for you. Now go on your way and eat a sandwich. I thought, you know, I shouldn't say anything on the radio because I don't have answers, so I can't give you the answers. But what if I do have answers? I mean, I don't know you, and maybe I do have something that could be of value to you. I know I have all my answers to. I'm not calling you a dog, but I feel like my dog is like, you do, Hard, you do have the answers to my questions. My dog has mainly one question, and that question is food, which is a beautiful, elegant question. It's just one word, but it's a word that does a lot of heavy lifting in the language. If you think about food, what food means, you could meditate on it all day. It's a very important word. It isn't like, you know, pencil eraser or something, which is a very specific, limited, can't think about that. But food, oh, a lot of things act as food. You know, I could go on and on. So that is a question. Is a very good question. So perhaps I do have a, and my answer would be nubbies, nibby nubs, or yummies, or I don't want to say it, the dog, treat, or treat. So treat, I'm getting your dog all worked up. Would you like to take? You want to go out? You want to go outside? Do you want to go out? Do you want to go outside? I'm sorry. You want to go walk? You want to walk? You want to go walkies? I'm sorry to do that. I know a lot of you do listen to your dogs. Some of you have gone through some dogs since I've known you. I hear from you, and you're on dog two or something. A lot of you are on Santa's Helper 2 or whatever, and I think that's lovely. Oh, my goodness. Also, parents, a lot of you have listened with your parents who aren't with you anymore. Hey, gosh, the show's been on a long time. I don't want to die. But I guess here we go, you know, into the future. My goodness. So do you have the answer there, Hardy? Well, I will say this. It's like thinking about food. The now has just, it's an infinitely deep. You could just keep, oh, is it a rabbit hole? No, I'll tell you why it's not a rabbit hole. There's no blankety-blank rabbit in it. Yeah, but there's lots of other things in it.
Well, then there's a rabbit. If there's everything is in the hole,
yes,
then there's also the rabbit.
Yes, but you don't call it the turd hole or the marble hole or something like that. Why single any one thing out if there's everything in the hole? I see. See, this is a philosophy class. A lot of times you say, what am I really listening to on the radio here? Well, you don't have time to go back to school, do you? And this is a great way of going back and taking a really easy elective.
I just mainly sleep through it.
Can you imagine, like, choosing to take, because we took classes like that in school, didn't we? That we didn't really, we said, well, this is going to get me graduated and get me that diploma and that imprimatur I need to lie and get positions that I'm not qualified for. And this is part of that process. I'm on the road to doing that. And one of them is sitting through this lecture of information I'm not interested in, which is a strange dynamic. Isn't it wonderful? It's like, you know, come on, tell me the information. But you don't really, go tell me. It's hard to really teach when that's going on. That's why radio is so great, because you can just see there, you know, sit there and think, I don't care about any of this. But the funny thing is that you're here now by choice. And you realize that the part of the learning process is just hating what you're hearing. And I think that's school. If I'd gone back to school now, kids, say, hey, you can get some enjoyment out of listening and paying attention and thinking, ah, you know, I'm mad that they're making me learn this or something like that. That's still engagement. Oh, my goodness. There's so, what benefit do I have of learning things, Hardy? Well, you know, I don't want to go into it, but just learning to read signs that say,
danger, electrical, I have found very valuable. Or don't open this door. There's nothing on the other side of it. It's just the third story. If you open the door and go out, you plunge to your death. Now, that's a very long sign, and a lot of people don't have that kind of patience, and you need to develop an attention span in this life. So, okay, all right. And that's the way we are. Get to the end of the instructions. You ever have one of those teachers that's got these long instructions, and the last one is, you don't have to take this test, and then they prove that nobody read the instructions?
No, but that's a great idea, Hardy. When next time I substitute teach.
Yeah, because that's... Do I want to substitute teach? Yes, because I could waste time. Everybody, take out a pencil. I'd have him. What would I do with? Take out a pencil. All right, now do that thing on that desk thing with the rhythm thing. We go tick 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 tick. Do your pencil drum with just a pencil. One pencil. Go. Bully them, but for fun things. I think that would be great. Like, but teacher, yell at them, but not for any one particular thing. Just yell benign things at them. I think that's really what school is about, is just learning how to deal with that. Say, there's somebody yelling at me. God bless them. I'm just going to let it go, you know, go through me. Because maybe I'll be in a work, what they call a workplace. Oh, my goodness. What is that? What's one of the rings of hell, the workplace? Oh, my gosh. They should have TV shows or little cartoons about things that go on in offices. I'd pay. No, I wouldn't. You know, I wouldn't pay to see that in the same way that I don't really watch emergency room shows. I don't watch any entertainment that reminds me of somewhere that I got to be that I don't want to be. So, you know, when I'm not when I'm not like rushing my mother to the emergency room, I love to just relax and watch someone else do it. And that is not me, pretty much. Unless it's my beloved Three Stooges. I don't mind seeing them wreak havoc in an emergency room. Hi, I'm Hardy White, and welcome to Three Stooges Theater. Today we're going to watch, I got you all excited because sometimes I do a lot of TV on the radio. Hardy's going to do an audio Three Stooges. You ready? I've done it a little bit. I did a reading. I did a Three Stooges reading, which required me I didn't use AI or anything. I went and listened and transcribed a Three Stooges short by hand with a pen in a diary, and then did that on the radio a little bit. And that's something. And aren't you glad there's archives? Just to hear, I'm just like a guy in a bar, but just like, you know, you should, one of these days we should record this guy. That's how I feel like maybe I am sometime, and I guess that's okay.
Good, you got to turn your phone on surreptitiously. What? Turn your phone on surreptitiously.
What? What's a phone? And then record me at the bar going on about something. Well, I might get my Weeblos together or something like that.
These guys are real.
I got a handheld CB recently. And I've been using that to listen to others. You know, it's so fun to listen to sort of ham radio or shortwave and hear people, the wonderful conversations. Like I heard one time on shortwave, I heard a fella saying, and then yesterday I was listening to CB and they were talking about smoking weed mainly. And I don't know whether they were bringing pot. I think they were bringing it from one state to another or something. Because you can just say that. What are you going to say?
I'm out of here. I got a lot of pot.
And I guess you can't. There's not some 70s sheriff sitting there with a CB. Like, I'm going to get him. They're going to say one thing. And it's going to identify him. I don't think it works like that anymore. You know, bless us. We're in a different age. Aren't we? I wonder if they're going to call it Jurassic again. Because it's like they could probably just reuse it. You know, it's like hurricanes.
So they go through the alphabet, but they never get to Z or something like that.
Or they do, and then they have to go back again. There was for a while they were naming hurricanes, I think, were just women. Is this correct? Correct me if I'm wrong. And then they started saying we should have some
we should have some names that are not either not gender specific or, you know, vary it up. And I don't know why they had proper names to begin with. Did they still, I guess they still do it, but I was thinking Hurricane should be named like, you know, Death Knell or, you know, something like that. Black Fear or no, that's probably a band. But anything like that, I think that'd be better than just a person, because then it's like when a serial killer comes out and they're like, oh, dang it, man, the serial killer's got is named Harney White or something. It's a bummer. Because I don't want to say this person's name, but there's somebody who waits on me, and their name is P. Diddy. Not really. Their name is P. Diddy's real name. And I always think, oh, I hope you're not ever mistaken. Oh, middle-aged white lady. I hope that no one ever thinks that you're P. Diddy. But that's the thing, it's your name. So I want a common name. I don't want to blend in. But then there's psychopaths that share your name. And that's kind of fun, I guess. Who knows when that'll happen? That could happen some really, like at an airport or some really inopportune time you find that out. And I just hope that I remain the only Harney White and I don't tarnish my own name. My goodness. You know, oh, the human heart. I learned a lot about it watching Hammer films. Ooh, the depths of depravity that the human heart can path from the grave beyond the grave. And it does sometimes do things from beyond the grave. What is Dracula, really, other than just somebody who's really succumbed to nostalgia? It's like, good God, look, he's just, that's what you are. That's what you are, Dracula. You represent, even in a meta way, like the Dracula, all the Dracula movies, everything about it is got this can't let go, recycle the past. Because that's the thing, Dracula himself is dragged from the grave by desire, chained to life, made a monster by desire, right? And then every Dracula movie is dragged. Let's drag this thing from the grave and bring it to life because we want our... And it's all of it. Every Dracula movie is a corpse that's been dug up and is feasting off of what? Off of our love, you know? And I think that's true. We have a lot of nostalgia comes up and gets us from the grave. I think if we saw more, I think if you, now that we got AI, you can just go and make all characters in all those old sitcoms into convincing vampires. And every time they open their mouths, they have fangs. And if you see that image and those memories as predatory and monstrous, I don't know. Maybe we'll be delivered. We'll stop making sequels. Oh, my goodness. Everything is got franchise fever. Movies are franchises, things are franchises, franchise, restaurant franchise. I'm thinking of franchising. Gallagher franchised. Franchise yourself. And then you can get high and then say it a lot. Franchise, franchise, franchise. And you go, oh, now I want french fries. But it is amazing how everything has got to be a sequel. Oh, fear of the new ideas. What if I come up with a new idea and it isn't anything like a past idea? People won't recognize and won't know what to do. Because if we're living in a world of zombies, they all have to look like someone we knew in life. All the walking dead, they have to have a, maybe just everything. This is not my theory, but there is a theory that everything just stopped, that we got sucked into a black hole, and then that's why everything is just like, why does it feel like there's nothing new? And then the AI that just feeds on things that have already been done and recycles it to us in a hallucination is the product of a dying brain. So your brain is dying, and it's not getting any additional information. So all it does is it just creates the world out of this disintegrating universe of your memories. And that feels like that's happening globally in a way. It's like, did everything stop? Did information stop? Are we just now collapsing? And it does feel a little bit like that. I feel maybe there was never anything original to begin with. That could be. Who knows? Oh, my goodness. But I feel like I'm so blessed to be with you and to be living in an age where we're being lame and half-assed and derivative is okay. That's all right. You don't have to be brilliant. You don't have to be original. You don't have to be a groundbreaker. Ground's already broken. It's so soft. In fact, don't even build on it. You're going to collapse like a Miami condo. It is not firm ground. There's nothing. The ground has been broken. And then we took all the ground and we sold it to aliens. Goodbye. That's them going away with our ground. And here we are. Oh, my goodness. But what we do have is each other, and we can do little plays and everything. I've always lived my life like, hey, what if I'm trapped at the bottom of a mine or a well or something with some other folks? I better have, you know, something in my pocket, like some jokes, something to do, something to entertain them with, you know, a plan, you know, for we live here now. And for the people that are about to live at the airport forever, that's, you know, you got to, hey, these are my community. This is my new world. That's all right. You can live anywhere. People have done that. Top of mountains and, you know, walled cities. Think of that airport that you're stuck in now. Is like Carcassonne or some medieval walled city. The other day, I'm going to say something foolish I did. I have a somebody I know is going to next year is going to Busan in Korea, to Busan, and I pronounce everything foreign words French. I said, "Oh, you're going to Busan," and there is no place Busan. But I thought, wow, it feels like it wants to be. It feels like there's a silent T. But no, it's just Busan, and I should know that. From MASH. Because sometimes they go to Seoul. That's Colonel Potter. Oh, fun. I don't watch it. I hate watch most TV. Not hate watch. That's harsh. That's not true. I watch most TV like, you know, there's aliens on like Star Trek when they're encountering our culture or something, and they kind of cock their heads like they're Cocker Spaniels. That's where they got the name of it. But they like they're a dog going, "What's that?" That's how I watch old stuff like that. I go, "Whoa, okay, that's how things were." The interesting things about MASH is you're probably too young to remember it, but it was a sitcom that was on sitcom. Gosh, there was war sitcoms. That was a thing. But this is one of those, and it was on mainly 70s. You know, late 70s, early 80s, let's say. And the thing about that, it was created and the executive producer was a guy who got his start in radio, like Duffy's Tavern radio. Like, Duffy's Tavern! The kind of stuff that I do poorly. And so you're watching some kind of holdover from a previous generation. And it's that way with entertainment. It's all sort of tainted with old person. There's always something from the past that is being made to endure. You have to have one corpse in your cast. And you could see that with like soap operas. Say, wow, that one actor is like, he's still on it?
Yes. I am Lawrence Westermaven. I am Patriarch of the Sun.
And they go, wow, he's still on Days of Our Memories. He looks so old.
Well, they have to have him on there because he was on the original in the 60s, and they have to have continuity. And that's the same way with everything. You know, a lot of these TV stuff has, it's the same universe. So the guys, they figure, how do we connect them all in people's imaginations? And the good thing is that by and large, people don't have imaginations anymore. Imagination's like some format that didn't work. Yeah, imagination's kind of like VHS. We've moved on. We're in the post-imagination world, where now we outsource our imagination to machines and to psychopaths who have a lot of money. And why wouldn't those be the people that think and imagine for us? Gosh, it's such an important task. You don't want to have just ordinary people doing it. No. But they do have the raw material we need. So what we'll be doing is we need to take about 100 ordinary people, crush up their brains, and we can get somebody who can think up sitcom ideas. But that's the price. And I feel that way. I feel like I'm mainly consuming crushed up brains. That's what protein shakes are. I don't want to spread rumors, but I think just heads up. In the South, you would stop for breakfast in the 70s one time, and you could get scrambled brains. I don't know if you could do that anymore. I'd say, I remember going to some place the first time, and somebody ordered scrambled brains. It looked like sausage. It just looked like gray, chopped up, scrambled sausage or something. But it was the brain of a creature. And then you eat it and you get spongiform encephalitis or whatever it's called. You get it, you get brain eating disease. People had that for a while in the 80s, I remember. It's that somebody had been eating brains. And then people were getting brain eating disease. Their brains would turn to sponge. And I haven't heard of this happening much anymore. I wonder what happened to those folks. Some of them have gone into government health positions, I think. But this was a thing. Is you know, you wouldn't think there's a downside to eating brains, but then it turns out like, oh, it makes you a zombie. You're just absolutely literally. So be careful about that. You don't want to eat any part of the body where there's not an immune system. God knows what's in there. Oh, my friends, I hope you do not have an immunity to me, or do. No, I do. I don't want to cause harm. Yeah, you have something. You've put up some protective. Always use protection when listening to Hardy. My goodness, put some kind of ironic distance. I got to take everything. I use a grain of salt for protection. I hope you're talking about me, my friend. Oh, for everything. I salt myself. And then people pretty much keep their distance. I would imagine they would. And then I was salting myself, and I fell in love with a slug, but our love could never be. I know. Because I was too salty, and if we embraced, it would kill her. I know. Ugh. Life. I feel that way a lot of times, that I am a salty person who's fallen in love with a slug in a way. That's the way I see my artistic life. And I see radio as a sort of snail with no shell, you know, that's vulnerable, that's being eaten even by the weakest things. Even a little bird, a little frail bird comes up, says, I could take this. I could take you, radio. I know. We're unprotected. And there you go, little innocent worm being... I'm always identified with worms, you know, in literature. And I guess mainly Richard Scarry. I'm trying to think of other worms that are... James and John Peach had a worm, maybe. But I'm thinking of Lowly Worm. And I don't know if... Maybe Richard Scarry's on the outs, or... Nobody called him Dick, did they? And they, Lowly Worm had a, he wears a, one of those Tyrolean hats, because I guess he's either Austrian or Northern Italian. And he, I don't want to say anymore because I'm going to misremember. It's been so long since I've read the books. Gosh, I feel embarrassed. I know I read them. And it's just, if you don't, you got to reread things like that. Like I was talking about, the other day I was talking about Lord of the Rings to somebody. And I had the completely wrong books. I was thinking of a totally different series. I was thinking of Alfred Hitchcock's Three Investigators series. And that person must have thought I was crazy, because I was getting all the characters wrong. And but eventually we figured out what was going on. And I was like, I love like how the Fellowship of the Ring figured out the mystery of the Green Ghost. I said, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not embarrassed of my intellect, or by my intellect? Oh my gosh! Because here's the thing. I don't have the energy to pretend to be someone I'm not, especially because I have to say so many words on the radio. You don't have to. I don't have to. Oh. I don't know what to do now. But I do. So, and I say a lot of words on the radio. So here's the thing. I can't, the real me will out, as they say. And so there's no way of disguising how smart or dumb I am or how smart I am. It's just going to be evident, and I'm going to mispronounce words, and I'm going to get some things wrong, and I'm going to say some dangerous ideas, and I may call for some sort of mass action, ask people to do something that's detrimental or crazy or something. I may do any of those things. I don't know what's going to happen. I may be a mouthpiece for aliens and say the code word that inspires an invasion from beyond the stars. We don't know. These things slip out. But I can't, and I can get embarrassed, and I do, and I try to get better, and I try to learn. But one thing I can't do is I can't slip in to self-loathing. Why? Because I live with me. And I'm going to have to, not loathing doesn't mean that I have to accept everything that comes out of me. It doesn't mean that I have to be content with my ignorance. It doesn't mean, it just means I have to be brave about discovering my powerlessness. You know, because it's, we want to, when we encounter our power, it's very easy to get discouraged. I am nothing. I am nothing. And then you think the alternative is, no, I am something. You are. I'm a god. Well, I don't know. There's some, back up just a notch. Let's just take it down a notch. So you can have self-worth and not, you know, be grandiose about it. Now, how do I find that, Hardy? Well, I would say just find a cranky friend or something to hang out. Have coffee with somebody who's like, like that. And it just helps balance you. And I don't know. I don't have anything else. So I'm just going to go ahead and play some cartoons now. Hey, I love you. Have some fun. See you next week. That is not true. I have more things to say. The one thing I am most disingenuous about is the fact that I say, I got nothing to say. I have lots. And I realize that some of these things are valuable, that we have to go. I may have gone through and survived some things, even if they're subtle or small, which could be valuable. You know, and I think about that as I see friends making interesting choices. And you say, hey, I wonder if I had told the story of the dog and the grapes. The dog finds the grapes in an old, dog buys a warehouse, one of those abandoned storage units. They open it up. The dog goes in, finds crates and crates of grapes, starts eating the grapes. And then it's like, these don't quite taste right. But then just keeps eating because they're like, there's so many. This is so wonderful. I bought this storage unit for like, I bid, what did I end up paying? $280. It's weird, but so $280, which I think was only just the back rent, got in, got these grapes, and I'm declaring it a win. I'm going to eat this. So the dog starts eating the grapes, and the juice starts running down the dog's face. And then The dog transforms into a beautiful princess, but then the princess starts to throw up violently. Grapes everywhere, shooting grapes from her mouth like a fire hose. It must be a special effect. No, it's the body rejecting. It's the diaphragm seizing so violently to eject these grapes. And the grapes, and this is how they discovered wine. This is how wine was first made. But this is a cautionary tale, and it's a fable in that it didn't happen. But it's the kind of fable that's to say, hey, I get your point. I understand. And it might nudge you to make a slightly different choice in life. See, I see now that you've kind of pointed out the foolishness of my, and it's usually about desire. It's things that we really want that might not, we might not need. It might not correlate with a need. If it does correlate with a need, that's great. So you say, I want water. Why? Because I need water. Why? I am dehydrated. I will soon perish. So I'm worried I can keep it down once I get it, but I need and want water. You might need and want a donut. What do you need it? Well, that's debatable. It's food. Hey, food is food. Don't turn down food if there's food. If you can eat it, if you can get it and nourish you, don't be too picky. Well, what if I'm deathly allergic to it? There you go. I don't know why you need to ask questions like that. You'll notice that's an internet thing. Say, well, you should eat all the food on your plate. What if some of it is poison and will kill me? You know, I don't think you belong in this class. I feel like you didn't graduate the previous class. So I'm not going to answer that question because clearly you're not ready for this stage of learning. And I feel like that's on the internet a lot. Well, here's this. Well, clearly that's not what, if you think back to the goal we wanted in the originally, it was for you to be well and to be whole. So yes, if eating something that would kill you, we would be against that. Next question. I don't know where that, I don't really have complaints about human behavior because there's, I try to not watch them behave, I guess. Sometimes I do, I do love there to be a screen. I do love movies. I love to examine and watch people with a screen. And they prefer that too. I've known this, I guess you could still go to France, sit at a cafe and just stare at people doing stuff, which I love, you know, because I'm a no screens guy ultimately. But sometimes people are like, what are you looking at? If you don't, once we have invisibility, these people need to shut up, because unless if you could have your invisibility cloak on, don't go out in public if you don't want to be looked at. So that's the thing I'm but I do want to watch the subtle, you know, just what people do. I love to people watch. I love to watch people in their homes. You know, I guess that's not cool. I don't do it, but like that, not a lascivious voyeurism, but I would just love to look through people's windows and watch them fix dinner or, you know, that kind of thing. I guess I should just get like The Sims. I realize that, but there's something better about, you know, I feel like a Victorian waif. If you've ever been outside, it's cold, and you can see someone's apartment window, like in New York where they don't care. I don't care. So, and you're looking through a warmly lit window and somebody's in there and they're painting and making burritos or something, whatever they do in New York, and you're out in the cold and you go, oh, I feel like I said, like a Victorian waif looking in, or like the little match girl. I got this one match left. You know what? She's so stupid. I don't mean to put down the child, but you've got one match left. You're about to perish. Eat it. It's organic, isn't it? Like the wood part. It's wood matches. I don't know what the sulfur might be. People go to sulfur springs for healing. I think lighting it and just using up the energy like that, where the same amount of energy could be used calorically. You know, the calories are calories. And if she had taken in, she'd just eaten all the matches.
I think she would have been fine. I think what happened is she was a little distracted by the ghost of her grandmother. And I know that when I've been freezing to death, sometimes the visions are the worst. It's just, come, your grandmother, come with me. Like the, I think it was at Kurosawa's Dreams, where one of the mountain climbers have passed out in the snow, and there's a the snow goddess is like, be warm, you're warm. I don't think so.
Yeah, you're warm.
I'm not warm. Crazy, malevolent witch.
Yes, yeah, you're good. You're warm.
I'm not. I can tell, and I can tell by your voice that you're not an angel.
I am an angel.
I don't think so. I think you're some product of my imagination. And oh my gosh, my imagination. If it's the same one as I had as a child, I wonder why it doesn't terrify me anymore. My nightmares as a kid were brutal, but I don't get them as much anymore. I still get them a little bit. But I don't know why they're not as terrifying as they were. But gosh, there was a lot of ghosts and strange things and a lot of dead rising. And now all that, I guess it's just that my dead family stayed put for so long. I'm like, I guess they really are gone. You know, when you're a kid and they're freshly dead, you're like, they could be back. The movies say. And then they're not, and you go, I guess we're good. And you're glad in a way, because you think, well, it can't be. They're not going to come back in any kind of good state. I had that with my grandmother. I worried about her in my dreams for years after she was gone. I'd be still like, oh, no, I got into these stressy dreams of, like, my invalid grandmother moving around and stuff. And I said, oh, it's a nice restful sleep. Something I got through, and my brain's like, let's do that again. You know what was fun? I go, no, I don't remember that being fun. Let's just do it again and see how we do it differently. This time you're sobbing, crying. You didn't do that the last time. So I don't want to go those places in my brain. I hope that my show sometimes takes you on wild flights of fancy or fancy dress. That's what the British call costume, like a costume party. So if ever you go to a British party, say, we're having fancy dress, like that, they'll say it like that, and you go, uh-oh, I don't have a tuxedo. They don't mean tuxedo. They mean Spider-Man costume or something. So, but if you're here, I'll say, yeah, we're home having a celebration of life and we decided to do it fancy dress.
Oh, I'd love to be there.
Yeah, it's fancy dress, though.
Oh, wonderful.
Then you've got a problem. So then, you know, you show up at a Southern funeral in a Spider-Man costume. I guess that could be fun, but what a confusing thing. This is why I am running for office. I haven't decided which one, but I'm excited to announce it, and I'm going to standardize American and British English. And I'm going to save us, just getting rid of the U in color is going to save so much money. I've done the math. And it's like, wow, really? Yeah, we can just cutting some vowels out of some things is going to be a lot of. Now, one of you, see, you're all very clever about this because the island is so small. You just run out of things to think about. So you've. This language thing, I know that you've been quipping about it for a really long time. And then you have brains like David Mitchell, the comedian, who could find, gosh, he could find a frustrating problem in anything, any kind of language thing. He's so mad at that comma. Oh, he's mad at it. So that we don't really do that here. Sort of more see it as like, you know, did you get my point? Yeah, okay, we're good. Then more of a thing you use, you know, to get the job done. That's why I'm not a gun person, but I'd never have it engraved or anything. It's like, well, that's silly. And I don't have my tools maybe, so somebody doesn't take them at a work site. But there's a lot of things that they're just, I don't want to say I'm a utilitarian. I'm not, but a lot of things that I'm not as concerned about. If they're good enough, you know, because here's the thing. So here's a little parable. My story's a bit great, good, and Suck are on an island. And they all start out as friends. But then Great becomes the enemy of both Good and Suck. I'll skip to the ending. Suck gets them all saved. Okay? I don't know why, but I really do feel that. So we don't have this word so much. But when I was coming up, there was a movie and a word, slacker. And they would say, you're a slacker. You're slack. And it was this dig on the budding efficiency movement, is what I called it. And, you know, it's not so much slack. It's like, do I really need to get up? And I think it's more pragmatism. And I felt like, oh, I'm being more pragmatic. I'm not discouraged. It's just a lack of encouragement. I'm not worried about it. I don't think I need any, but I'm not discouraged either. Oh, my goodness. I'm neither hungry or sated. I just am. And that's a wonderful way to walk into a restaurant. And by restaurant, I mean the future. And by the future, I mean just anything that isn't now. And by that, I mean, well, what do I mean? Well, you're going to have to buy my book. That's very complex. I wish I could tell you all now. I wish I could sum it up. But it's a series of three books that I like to call The Lord of the Rings. Now, it's spelled differently, so let's not. The click on the link is in the bio. Or is it the other way around? I don't know. The bio is, don't let link be the enemy of bio. And if you remember the old Mod Squad, they don't have that anymore. Nothing's mod. It's the death of modern. All these things are in my college class. The wonderful thing about a pop culture class is you take your whatever you are, bipolar, ADHD, and then that's your qualification. And that's, and just like, I'm going to riff. So I think that, I don't know why I don't have a PhD. I think that'd be one. I'd love to. If you've got one, you'd like to give it to me. Because I think it works that way now. You can just, if you can get the award, but you can give it to me. And if you're not using it, and I know like 30% of you are not using your PhD, give it to me. I don't care if it's the cardboard kind or, you know, it doesn't really do anything or that's fine. Honorary doctorates? No, thank you. No, thank you. I have some pride, but I will take, if you want to give me your chemistry PhD or something, I could probably do something with. And will I turn around and just sell it? Maybe, but still. I could parlay it into something. Might take the money, start a little business. I'd love to start a little business. I'd love to get back into selling butter. I sold two or three different kinds. I remember back in the day. And cheese. But I think it's the butter that gave me the joy. Oh, my friends, it doesn't have to be big things, does it? You know when you used to give your mother a little present when you were a kid and she'd cry? And you'd say, oh, it's just the little things. You found out later she's crying because she didn't like it and she'd already had one. But then you think, she's so touched. It's just, it doesn't matter that it's a raisin made out of Sculpey. It's not even a real one. And
I made earrings, Mommy, and they're Sculpey raisins.
Oh.
Wear them.
No. No, I'm throwing them away.
Oh.
Yeah, don't.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know how that would go. So we do know that that gift giving and receiving is the same thing. It's the same emotional bubble thing. So it's how we receive gifts is as important as what we give and how we give. And that's a lesson that's hard to learn, especially if it's love or affection or acceptance. Some people have a hard time just being accepting. I say, I'm okay with you and you're all right. And then it's, no, you don't know me. It's like, no, buddy, you don't know you. You know me. You hate me. Oh, no. If you knew you, you wouldn't. That's usually the problem. You know, it's you're probably using someone else's eyes, and they got into your head. This happens. Eyes fly out of the skulls of people with problems, and they fly into our innocent when our skulls are soft. Those eyeballs get in there, and then they start looking at us, and we think it's our eyes, but it's the sight of others, and they're scared and flawed and confused. So we don't need two pairs of scared, confused eyes, in just one per head. And those eyes should realize that if everybody is scared and confused, then nobody is. No, well, it's not worth noting, maybe. Maybe that's the thing. Maybe it's like saying there's a rabbit in the rabbit hole. Maybe scared and confused is just in there with all the other wonderful things in this big black hole that we're falling into. And if we are recycling things that were already here, then may all the joy of the past come flooding upon you, all the fond memories of the little dancing fun cartoons, the little, I don't know whether little daisies or something, cartoon daisies that are dancing on your dashboard right now as you're driving home because you're like, oh, I'm so tired. Wake up, wake up! Oh, no, what can be? So they're not little, change them to little baker men. Oh, they're happy little, happy little baker, slappy little, slappy little, happy little baker men. And we've dropped pies and cakes when your light help you sate your appetite. And we never, never happy to have a church and because you never get. I don't remember the words exactly. I'll learn them for next show. But that's an old cartoon, you know, where there's little tiny little bakers help out the baker. Little elves come and do his work for him at night, which is what I always hoped in college. Go, I'm going to go ahead and take these drugs. And when I wake up, maybe tiny elves will have done my work for me. They didn't. Got D's. I'm here. Now, here's an interesting thing. I'm still on the radio as radio is disintegrating all around. It's like a Doctor Who. It's like, oh, look at the reality is crumbling all around us. And that's the way it feels like radio. It's like, there it goes. There goes another. And oh, it's automated or gone. So if you're driving around and you're just listening to me and say, who is this guy just talking on the radio like this? What is this? I will say that this is a voice from the past. And you will never in the future hear things like this again. It's going to be a little different. Oh, there'll still be voices coming from speakers. You'll still hear disembodied thoughts, sound. But not the old style, that's gone. And maybe that's a good thing. Because what do you need with hair lanolin when everybody's bald? Because it's the future and the bald people. Everybody's in the future is bald and wears silver. Feel like it was a Seinfeld joke. Sometimes I get a little, do you ever get that prickly feeling in your butt or something? Like, so, oh, I shouldn't have, I stole that, but not even from somebody I respect. Well, maybe that's good. I'm going to start doing the jokes of people I hate. I don't hate anybody, but just, no, that wouldn't work. I wouldn't be feeling it. So I can't do that. And I don't want to be cruel. And I hate to make, I don't like to have fun at somebody else's expense, even one person. It's just not worth it. What good? I just feel like a cackling. When that happens, when somebody else has to be sad, unless they're awful, but somebody doesn't deserve it, and you're laughing, and it just feels like monkeys in hell. You know, we bare our teeth and everything like that, and I feel very sorry for the solitary monkey. I've always been a person that really identified with the lonely little baby monkey. And so if you feel like a tiny little scared baby monkey all curled up in a corner, boy, I love you. You're my people. If you feel like a little puppy or a kitten hiding under a car or something, I'm with you. And that's us. And we are Legion. And if we were together, we'd be terrifying because you have all these like quivering little scared animals. That even the monkeys would stop laughing. They'd put their sharp fangs away. I'm going to leave you with this thought. That Jungle Book thing with the monkeys isn't right. I don't think that's in the book. Well, it might be in the book. I don't know, but anyway, I don't know. I don't like it. It also feels like maybe aren't they from Borneo? Orangutans? Am I wrong? Orangutans are from Borneo, right? Not India. It's supposed to be India. And that bear, and the bears are smaller there, too. I don't want to quibble. Well, I like to quibble, but I don't mean to. So there you go. Oh, bless you so much. I'm going to leave you with this wishes of love and peace for you. Oh, my goodness. As long as we're alive on the same planet, know that there is hope in our quiet nows and our wonderful little moments in between in the cracks in the little as we cower in the corner of our little cave. There's some wonderfulness going on. I'd love to share a smile with you and a wink. You are listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County, and New York City, New York, and online, WFMU.org, worldwide. And boy, I hope I thanked y'all for that marathon. I know I'm mentioning it again, but it was great, and y'all were so generous and wonderful to me and to the whole station. And thank you, and I will see you again next.
Twins' name was Ebony. Her name was Mahogany. 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 Twins' name was Ebony. Thank you.